We continue today with our series on Muslims in Europe. Today we head to Britain, where the number of Muslims has more than doubled in the last 20 years. And while many recent arrivals are Arab, most British Muslims are from the Indian subcontinent. Many of them live in segregated neighborhoods, where poverty and unemployment distance young people from mainstream society. NPR's Silvio Poggioli reports.
Edgware Road is in the heart of London, near Hyde Park. But it's no longer an English street. Nearly all the establishments have Arabic signs. At male-only cafes, customers relax smoking water pipes. Bookshops sell only Middle Eastern newspapers and books about Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. In an outlying area of London, T-shirts with bin Laden quotes are on sale in an old warehouse. It's the headquarters of the radical Islamic movement Al-Muhajirun. Its leader, Omar Bakri Mohammed, wants the creation of an Islamic state and says the task of every Muslim is to denounce secular societies.
That means to command people to go back to God's laws and to forbid man-made laws. The fruit of the Western civilization, it is abortion, pornography, murdering, unlawful sexual acts, so homosexuality, exploitations, usury, name it.
Omar Bakri is the spiritual leader of the Finsbury Park Mosque, Britain's most radical. On January 20th this year, 150 British police officers staged a dramatic helicopter raid using battering rams to break into the mosque. Seven suspected terrorists were arrested.
That's what they do to Anwar. You know Anwar, the Moroccan
giza? Yeah.
They arrest him because he got to...
Hours later, local Muslims gathered outside the mosque. One Algerian-born man says the police should have arrested the suspects long ago, but not in such a sensationalistic manner.
Our children are British citizens. And the school is just around the corner. They will ask when they come out what's happened. And my children will be in a bad position, confused. Am I British?
Since September 11th, 2001, Britain's 2 million Muslims have accused the media of identifying the entire community with what they say is a small radical minority supporting terrorism. However, the media scrutiny has highlighted the fact that many British Muslims live in separate, enclosed, underprivileged societies. It's called to prayers in Bradford. We're in Yorkshire, northern England, a green and pleasant land dotted with the 19th century's dark, satanic mills. Elderly, white-bearded men wearing skullcaps walk to the mosque. There are 90,000 Muslims in Bradford out of a total population of about 500,000. This used to be a wool center, but the industry collapsed, and the loss of 60,000 jobs has produced two rival underclasses, white and Muslim. Unemployment of up to 40% among Muslims, a gang culture, drug trafficking, and growing racial intolerance have taken hold. Medea, a 13-year-old veiled schoolgirl, says she's a victim of Islamophobia.
I go to Feversham Girls' School, which is just a Muslim girls' school, and when we're in the bus, like, it's only Muslim girls, and the non-Muslim children, like, they swear at us and they call us racist bastards, and they call us, like, they say a lot of things to us because we're Muslim girls, and they do a lot of racism against Muslims, I think.
At the Napoleon pub, this young Yorkshire man says he doesn't like those people.
Shouldn't be allowed over here, really. We're just paying for them, so that's my opinion. If they come over here, they should abide by our rules, speak our language, dress like us.
This young man seems unaware that 60% of British Muslims were born here and are British citizens. Ishtiaq Ahmed is the director of the Bradford Racial Equality Council.
The British white majority still don't see us very much as a part of Britain. And as a sections of communities, we are here to stay. We are still foreigners, we are still aliens, and we still don't seem to belong here. And until that, the white majority holds that view, our ability and capacity to integrate and become part of the country is going to be very limited.
British Muslims have very little political clout, and statistics show that the great majority lives under the poverty level. Convinced they have no prospects in the mainstream society, more and more second and third generation Muslims are seeking their identity in Islam. The Furqan Islamic School is in Birmingham. The lower classes are mixed, but by the middle level, it's girls only. Fazila Nawaz is 15. Her starched white headscarf stands out against her long black robes. Her parents come from the Indian subcontinent. We ask her how she identifies herself.
I wouldn't say I'm British or anything and all of that. Basically, I'm Islamic, full stop. I'm a Muslim. It's just religion, no caste.
Polls show that over 40% of young British Muslims define themselves first and foremost as Muslims. These disenchanted young people often don't speak their parents' language and don't understand the imported preachers in the mosque. But according to columnist Yasmin Alibai Brown, they've embraced the idea of Islam as a form of protest against a Western society they feel has shunned them.
And this very, it's almost like a new kind of communism, if you like, you know, where there is this very simple set of answers. And if you obey these rules, right, you are defending yourself against the West and you are creating a new identity for yourself.
And Yasmin Alibai Brown says there's a segment of the female British Muslim population which is extremely oppressed. Many families are cracking down against their daughters, who are perceived to be more vulnerable to insidious Western influences.
And they're much harder and much crueler today against their daughters than they were, say, when, if you talk to women in their 20s and 30s who also grew up here, they didn't have to go through quite as much oppression. Because A, they still had enough of their home country in them.
This oppression, she says, manifests itself in the growing number of forced marriages, with parents even resorting to kidnapping and physical violence to ensure their British-born daughter marries the man they have chosen, usually an uneducated youth from rural Pakistan. Several high-profile murders, suspicious suicides of young women, and the hundreds of female runaways have put the spotlight on this tradition of forced marriages. Yasmin tells the story of the murder in January of a young bride. Her father had chosen a cousin to be her husband. She preferred another cousin, and the father agreed. But on her wedding day, an uncle came to kill her, stabbing her 40 times.
Why? Because he said he didn't want other girls to learn that they had even this choice.
One British Muslim woman who proudly defies this tradition is Shazia Mirza, probably the world's first and only female Muslim stand-up comic.
You know, I just tell stories about when my mum's trying to marry me off to Pakistani men and, you know, how I break the news to them that I'm a comedian and that's not actually what they're looking for. And meeting all these guys, these Pakistani guys that my mum arranges meetings with, and they're looking for a really decent wife, and then I try and crack jokes and they don't get the jokes, and I think, oh, I can't be married to somebody that just doesn't find me funny, you know. So it didn't work. It never works, and I'm still single.
Shazia wears a hijab on stage, but not during this interview. She says she's an observant Muslim who wants to send a message to other women that Islam doesn't say they must be ruled by men. But she has received death threats and once performed with two bodyguards by her side. Shazia is proud of the impact of her work. One woman who saw her act was so inspired that she defied her parents and applied for a job in an office. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, London.
Tomorrow, we'll hear from France, where many Muslims feel the country's famous egalitarian principles don't extend to them.